Good morning. Let's pray. Lord, it is such a joy to be here with your people this morning. And Lord, we know that you delight to meet with your people. Lord, we pray that this morning, that as we welcome our brothers and sisters into membership, that we can encourage them, Lord, that we can be encouraged by their testimonies. And Lord, ultimately that you will be honored and glorified, and that you will accept our worship this morning. Lord, we pray for Josh as he brings your word. And again, Lord, we are just excited to be here this morning, and we pray that we can all, as we hear these testimonies this morning, be reminded of your goodness and what you have called each and every one of us to do. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Scripture reading this morning is Ephesians 2, 11 through 22. Ephesians 2. Therefore, remember, and at one time, you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you at that time were separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Amen.
Well, good morning again, brothers and sisters, and those who are visiting us. We are shifting the service a little bit because we are going to hear some testimonies, some baptisms, and then we will backload our continued worship at the end of our service. But this is a glorious day. We are here to witness this morning. We're going to witness some testimonies. We're going to see believers come into the waters of baptism, and then we're going to welcome them into the covenant family of God, the church. So this is a glorious day, and I think we're all somewhat familiar with new member services at RBC, but even with our familiarity, it's crucial that we don't become casual about the events of this morning. Baptism and membership are not casual. They're not mere ritual. They're not empty tradition. It's a powerful declaration of God's work in salvation. And so that's what we're going to witness this morning, that God indeed is adding to his church. And baptism in particular is a symbol of our grateful response to his unfathomable grace. And it is a weighty sign of our commitment to God, our commitment to Christ Jesus and to his bride, the church. So that's what the purpose of this morning is. The scriptures, they teach us that baptism is laden with significance. It's rich in its meaning. It's it's waiting. I hope we all see the weight of the implications for the believer. So this morning, I want to just briefly consider and look at six essential truths about baptism and what it means for each and every one of us who calls ourselves disciples of Christ. So six truths that I want to highlight briefly. The first one, baptism signifies a cleansing from sin. So just as waters wash away dirt from our body, baptism stands as a God-ordained, powerful symbol of the cleansing that comes not by water, but by the precious blood of Christ. Remembering the words of Ananias to Paul, he says, "Rise, be baptized, and wash away your sins," calling on his name. Now, the waters of baptism itself, they do not cleanse. I hope we all know that there isn't an outward ritualistic act. There's nothing outside of us that can remove the deep, dark stain of sin. Only Christ can do that. Only his blood can do that. His blood alone is what washes us white as snow. So the outward washing is a visible sign, yes, but it points us to an invisible, supernatural reality. The glorious cleansing that takes place when God, in his mercy, forgives us of our sins through the person and work of Jesus Christ. And for those of us today who have lived in sin, that is a glorious, glorious truth. Titus 3:5 anchors us in this truth. He says, "He saved us, he, Jesus, saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit." So for those who are getting baptized this morning, this is your bold testimony to the world. I have been washed clean. I have been made new by the mercy of God. And for those of us who are gathered here who have not yet professed faith in Christ, the waters of baptism are a stark reminder to you of your desperate, desperate need. Apart from Christ, you are sin, you are stained, you are defiled by your sin before a holy God. But here's the good news. Christ offers full and free cleansing to all of those who come to him in faith. No sin is too deep, no stain is too dark, no past is too defiled. We've sung the song, his mercy is greater, his grace is stronger. So if you have not yet trusted in Christ this morning, do not delay. I implore you, come to faith in him even this morning. Second point, baptism signifies death to sin. So there's not just cleansing, there's also a dying. It's a burial, right? It's this outward visible sign that the old self, the old Josh, the old person who we were before Christ has been put into the grave. Romans 6, 3 through 4 declares this truth. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. So baptism is, in essence, a funeral, right? It's a funeral to the old self. It's a stark, visible, undeniable declaration that sin is no longer going to be my master. The sinful desires that once ruled over me have been crucified with Christ. I no longer belong to the domain of darkness. I've died to that old way. I no longer obey its commands. I no longer obey the fleshly desires. I've been set free now. This is why believers cannot continue in their old patterns of sin. If we've been buried with Christ, how can we be alive to sin any longer? To those who are being baptized today, this is your powerful declaration. I am dead to my former way of life. The chains of my past have been broken. The old way is gone, and I'm never going back. to those who have already been baptized, the question becomes, does that describe your life? Does that describe your reality? Have you left your old self in the grave? Baptism, it symbolizes a decisive break. There's a before and then there's an after. The old life is over. The new life has begun. And that leads us to our third point. Thirdly, baptism signifies a rising to a new life. So it's not just a picture of death, it's also a picture of resurrection. It's the declaration that the grave, it doesn't have the final word. Just as Christ did not remain in the tomb, so does the believer not remain dead in their sins. They are raised to walk in the newness of life. Colossians 2:12 proclaims, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. And so this isn't just mere symbolism, brothers and sisters. This is a reality, and it's rooted here in the power of God. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is at work in every believer who has been united to him in baptism. Baptism declares that you are no longer who you once were. Again, the old has passed away. There's a new identity. I wear a new badge. I am child of the living God. A new heart beats within me. And therefore, there's new purposes that define me. A power, the very power of the risen Christ now enables you to walk with him in righteousness. So if you're being baptized today, let that be your living testimony. You are not the same. You've been made new. The chains are broken. The dominion of darkness is shattered, and the Spirit of the living God now dwells in you. And for those who have already been baptized, I ask you again the same question. Does that reflect your reality? Am I living as one who has been raised with Christ? Baptism isn't just, it's not the finish line, right? It's the starting line to a resurrected life, a life that proclaims with every breath, with every step, every heartbeat, every act of love and obedience that I am alive with Christ. As we sang this morning, to live is Christ. Fourthly, baptism is a sign of God's covenant promises. It's not first and foremost about what we do. We live in a behavioral mindset, right? What can I do for God? But that's not the beginning point. It's about not what I do, but what God does. He is the one that is making covenant promises to the one being baptized. Matthew 28:19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. This is a glorious picture of baptism, folks. To be baptized with the name of the triune God being spoken over you, I mean, that's no small thing. It's to be claimed by him, to be stamped with his name, to be brought into a covenant, an everlasting covenant that will not be based upon my works, but it's based upon Christ and his work on my behalf. And it's God saying, you are mine. I will be your God. You will be my people. Baptism is a visible, tangible declaration that his promises are true, that his promises are yes in Christ, and that our sins have in fact been washed away. And that as a believer stands in these waters today, they don't stand alone. They stand under the banner of God's unbreakable covenant love, and they rise marked as his forever. Fifth truth in baptism. Baptism is our covenant pledge to God. So God is making covenant pledges to his people, but we are also making a covenant pledge to God. It's a moment where we stand before him and the church and we make a solemn pledge of allegiance to him. 1 Peter 3:21, baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So baptism is an appeal. It's a heart cry, right? It's a declaration before God and man, I belong to Christ. My life is his. I follow him as my Lord, no matter what the cost for my life. It's the believer's pledge of allegiance to Jesus. It's this dividing line between a life lived for self and a life surrendered to the King. So when you enter the waters, you are saying, no longer do I belong to the world. No longer am I just for my own desires. Christ, he's purchased me with his blood, and I will follow him all my days. And so hopefully we're seeing this isn't an empty ritual, right? It's a covenant vow. It is rich in significance. It's a covenant vow sealed in water, spoken in faith, and grounded in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So those who go into the waters today, they rise with this confession burning in their hearts. I am not my own. I have been bought with a price. My life is his. Sixth and final truth, baptism joins us and unites us to the church. So this isn't just a private moment between you and Jesus, right? No, it's a church event. The whole body is witnessing this. It's a visible, glorious entrance into this local covenant community of God's people. So when you're baptized, you're also saying, these are my people. This is my family. I belong here. And with that belonging comes a joyful obligation to love and to serve these brothers and sisters, to submit to the teaching of God's word, and to walk with one another in covenant faithfulness to this body. And this is how the early church lived. Acts 2 verses 41 and 42, they tell us that those who were baptized were added to the fellowship of believers. They devoted themselves to teaching and prayer and life together. And so baptism membership means you are no longer your own. You belong to Christ, and by his design, you belong to the church, to his church. So for those getting baptized today, as you rise from these waters, you rise as part of something bigger than yourself. The blood-bought family of God are now your people. Walk in faithfulness, love this church, serve with joy, and may Christ be glorified in your life among his people. And so I hope we're seeing how baptism is a profound and glorious and beautiful, this stunning picture of the gospel. It declares we've been washed from our sins, that we have died to our old way of life, that we have been raised to new life in Christ, that God places his covenant name upon us, claiming us, that we offer pledges to him before the church, and that we now belong to his church. So to those who are being baptized and to those who are sharing their testimonies this morning, let this be a joyful morning, a joyful living testimony of God's grace in your life. To those who are already baptized, remember what your baptism signifies. Live in a manner worthy of the calling that you've received. And to those here today who have not yet repented and believed in Christ, I urge you, I plead with you, do not delay. The waters of baptism serve as a witness to you. You are either dead in your sins or you are alive in Christ. Repent and believe and be saved, and may Christ be glorified today and always. Amen.